Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Podcast One presents the Steve Austin Show Classics.
Here we go. I got Rowdy Roddy Piper. What were you into? I mean, I hung around with the drinking crowd, and that was my thing. And I never won Dad of the Year at all. And I'm still trying to build a relationship with my girls to this day. Yeah. And a period of time where I was always gone, and when I was home, I was gone as well.
Yeah,
and I was back on the road. So. But I was into the drinking thing, and to not go into specifics, I've heard Roddy, you know, word on the street when anybody talked about living life partying, you were the guy.
Yeah.
No one could out party.
Yeah,
Roddy Piper, and so when did that turn into a monster and get out of control? Ooh. I mean you were functional, but I look back at some of the decisions I made. And I was pretty hot-headed back then, and you know, and I was always a business guy, and I was always there early, and I stayed late. But it's a different animal to deal with. Now I can see that now.
Yeah.
I didn't see it then. I was so far in the forest, I couldn't see the trees.
It's big time. You know, and then here's another instance of why you even got deeper. So the first, before, it wasn't WrestleMania, it was a war to settle the score that started everything. And all of a sudden, they want me to take a dive for Hulk in the war to settle the score. Now, he's the champion. And all of a sudden, they got a heel that in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, is hotter than any heel they've had.
Right.
So, but New York, under the thinking of the business, the big guy, babyface territory, they wanted me to, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't. Well, why? Because it's wrong business. If I'm coming back in a tag.
Right.
Okay. So you want to squeeze your bees out and then do the tag and then we run. That's different. They don't. So I'm sorry. I got kids. I got ice cream bars too.
Right.
Then it came to WrestleMania 1. And boy, this is a good place to do this one. Because you got me, man. When I was talking to Steve, you folks... you know, I was honored that he asked me his podcast. And so I'm talking to him, and the last thing he says to me, so is there really heat with you and Mr. T? It changed the whole conversation, and I thought you were shooting with me. I thought he was going to be here, and I was ready to go.
No, I just heard so many heat stories. I mean, I heard you had a legitimate heat. I know the story about when you walked in the meeting, you came in late. There was a chair with your name tag on it, and there was T.
Yeah.
And, you know, he flexed his arm and said, feel that. You grabbed his head. He said, how's it feeling? He said, soft.
Exactly.
And you didn't know that you weren't supposed to touch Mr. T.
I didn't know.
No. So did he come in with all these riders and this contract? All of a sudden, you ain't supposed to touch the guy?
Yeah. This is what he did.
Into this business? I mean, and back then and not get touched?
You see, in giving him...
That rubbed you the wrong way from the get-go.
Here's the thing, is what wasn't understood was the entire wrestling profession was on my shoulders to a certain extent as far as all the guys, hey, man, don't make a fool of us.
Right.
Now, Mr. T wants to come in. Now, he's... probably the world's biggest TV celebrity at that time, given that. And he won some kind of like a bouncer contest. But he came in with, you know, pity the fool, I'm T with that all.
Yeah.
And he wanted to come in and slam our heads and make fun of us and go, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah, he's going to skate off to the next TV gig. You're trying to put asses in a seat in an arena.
He had zero respect.
You got a problem.
Zero respect.
Right.
And, I'm on the stage in Rockefeller Center, and he blindsides me and leg dives me off the stage. And I come up, and McMahon said, I saw those eyes, he said, of yours. Thank you for being a pro. You're not welcome.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you have tea. And here's the heat getter, is he's oblivious to how ignorant he is.
Yeah.
Peter Principle, in the height of his own ignorance. And I said, no, man, I'm not putting him over, which started my reputation.
But that was WrestleMania 1, right?
One.
Okay. Now that match, I watched it just the other night. It wasn't the most fluid match I've seen, for obvious reasons, because of that dynamic. There's some obvious hellacious talent in the match itself.
Yeah.
When you take him out of the equation. Of course, some of the trademark bumps that Bob Orton took in there, I mean, just that guy's incredible.
Oh, he's
Orndorff and Mir buddies from way back.
Yeah,
to you.
He's great.
Hogan obviously knows how to work a crowd and do what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a moment in there, you had him in a front face lock.
Yeah, I told.
A little communication problem.
A
He's
bit.
Not understanding what's going on.
Yes, sir.
How tight was that front face?
It was hooked.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he was running out of breath.
Right.
And so when I came to Vince at a meeting in his office, and I'm late, I'm on the phone. I heard that he wrestled amateur. Keep it amateur. Don't let him throw a punch.
Right, right, right.
And if you watch it, there's nothing.
Yeah, I've heard you tell that story.
Front face locked him and let him get out of breath a little bit. At the same time, it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's business.
Right,
and
right,
Rome
right.
And, you know. And now Vince's house. Vince put his house up.
Yeah.
Here's something that I've never circled around much here is, hey, there was a responsibility on my shoulders that everybody else, who was Orndorff, Orton, Hogan, they're all great. But I got a guy that's putting his house up. That means something to me.
Right.
I got to make this work.
Right.
And sometimes I don't think Vince realizes what we had to do to make that work.
Right.
It was really difficult.
Right.
And, you know, grace of God, we're coming up on WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, we're coming up on 30. I want to talk to you about 30, but let's quickly go to two. UNT in a boxing match. I watched that. It was what it was. And you have
horrible
hands. You have a boxing background from your days at the Y.
Yeah.
So,
it was horrible. I tell you,
exactly. It was
horrible.
Yeah, you know, we're two guys. We're on the same level.
Yeah.
It was
horrible.
It's tough to work a match like that.
You can
do your best. You can do your best to get through it.
Here's what happened.
Hard to tell a great story.
Hard to tell a great story, man. You got to have somebody
to tell a story with.
Here's what happened. McMahon took me off the road and threw me in a camp in Reno with Lou Duva, Tyrell Biggs, Sprinks, Braxton, Tyrell Biggs, Holyfield, etc. And all of a sudden, 6 weeks, how did I get here?
Right.
You know, I'm dying. And so now it comes time to get in the ring, and this is what they do to me. Because I'm waiting for a high sign. I told Vince, go for it if he can. This is what they did to me. They had me make a fist, and then they taped up my fist.
I heard about that.
And then they put my fist in the glove.
Right.
Now, the commentating, Vince and this lady, had no experience at it.
Zero.
It was really bad. So anyway, so now I'm needing tea. Like, this is what's going through my head. I'm going, I want to take this guy out. But if I take him out, what's Vince? What is
Hollywood?
What's
God's going to say?
What's the con? Exactly. But if I can get him to do anything, hit me with an elbow, did anything,
right.
Can justify it, right? And Vince isn't giving me nothing.
Right.
Or anybody else. So I'm in the ring with this guy, and they wanted one. Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm just to go into to that big of a match.
Oh.
Second WrestleMania, and to really
give me
have almost full creative, but no creative.
Yes.
You're boxed in.
And now they want me to get at least knocked down by T.
Right.
Okay. So I'm not sure. Maybe the second or third round. I can't remember. But all right. And what I was going to do was T was going to left hook me, and I was going to go through the ropes onto the floor.
Yep.
So I'm getting around to that piece of business, and all of a sudden I realize not only do I have thumbless gloves on, my fists, I got...
You can't hook the rope.
I can't hook the rope. And I'm kind of looking, and I'm I don't know, 7 to 10 feet.
Yeah.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
And here we go. I just went for it. Well, he missed the left hook. Are you kidding me? You missed the punch. and I'm in flight. Okay. And I got back up in the next round. I took the stool, and I threw it at him as hard as I could.
Dude, you choked that thing across the ring with force. That was a shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it took a hunk of meat out of him. And it was like just, and again, we're taught, if I got a problem with somebody, figure it out in the locker room.
Right.
This is business.
Right.
That was beat into me. And you know what? I just, I can't remember, slammed him or something and get out of it. It's one of my most shameful moments.
Hey, man, you guys were on fire. You just shift gears, but you guys were on fire in the NWA. I mean, not in Crockett. And things are on fire. We'll talk about the Valentine, the dog collar match next time around. But I want to go back to where the business was as far as the lifestyle and selling tickets. Because you guys had lit it up down there. NWA was on fire.
Yeah.
You get the call. You go to WWF, the big show.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, when I came up 10 years behind you, WWF was always a big leagues. I think back in, I mean, you know, pretty much almost the same ball game. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Charlotte was big. Atlanta was like worldwide.
Yeah.
If you did.
But, you know, it ended up being, you know, WWF's a big leagues. So then you go there and, you know, you have Hulkamania running as wild as it's running. You're obviously a gigantic part of that. So you guys are doing crazy business.
Yeah.
Like what was the mindset? Because you Orndorff, who's a friend of mine, my old hunting partner from my South Georgia days.
I love him. Oscar.
I love Paul, too. Yeah.
Oscar the Grouch.
He is a grouchy guy in the morning. And Bob Orton. Yeah. Bob Orton's one of my favorite workers of all time.
Yeah.
So did you guys, you said you like to travel or sleep by yourself in your own hotel rooms, but you guys had been traveling together.
Constantly.
How was that? I mean, three cool cats that were on the same page going down the road together.
I'll tell you, as wrong as this may sound, I'll tell you what we finally had to do. There was like Bobby Orton, Morocco, Fuji. Yeah. We brought Bret Hart into it. Myself and, Adrian, you know, and a couple names that kind of, what we finally had to do, because there was so much trouble, is every night somebody would pick surrender their room. And in that room, anything you wanted. But don't try to leave because we're all going to stop you.
Right.
And talk about some wrestling philosophy and some, and whatever's going on, drinking a beer or whatever, you know, 4 or 8 hours, the sun's coming up. let's have another one. Yeah, but if you tried to leave the room, we would all snatch you.
Yeah.
And if you caught that bad, that was our only way that we could figure out. And we were all trying to be dads, too.
And
save our butt. Yeah. Holy God. But you know the sessions then.
Yeah.
The knowledge.
Right.
Holy cow. It was, you can't get it anymore.
But what, knowledge like that with the roster, the guys you just named.
Oh.
But once you guys are getting lit up and everything's going on, you have a very dynamic personality. I can only imagine that magnified maybe 100,000 times. I mean, along with some very salty cats in their own right with a Mr. Wonderful, who I spent lots of time with.
Yeah.
Those ingredients in a room, Jesus Christ, had there been a camera rolling for some reality.
Holy cow, baby Jesus.
So once you got into a certain area, you're talking 4 to 8 hours into the night, and, you know, I was always kind of one of those guys that loved to be around the guys for a while.
Yeah.
Then I kind of like to do what I call my power walk and do my own thing. And you know, I had a limiter, and I was mainly on the drinking side, but, you know, I could delve into other areas.
Yeah.
And I'm just speaking like it is, and we're not going too crazy, but all you cats in the room. And so then you turned up. I mean, how did you turn down?
You know, I never did. I was the worst of them all.
Right.
And if we put the background that we talked about, and then all of a sudden I'm back in New York, no one's going to take it from me this time.
Right.
And, you know, like I had it out with Schultz. I had it many hallways with Jimmy Snuka.
What happened with you and Schultz?
Schultz is a bully.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's a tough guy. And he was, I tell you what, one day we were in Poughkeepsie, and in the hallway, I hear this screaming, and Hogan's down on his tummy, and Schultz is riding him and, you know, kind of cross-facing him and screaming, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? The truth of it is, like, because of the hallway, Hulk couldn't get his arms out, right?
Right.
And he's making a big scene.
Right.
Yeah. He's got it, and he's wants to brag it. And so later on, like, I was doing a promo with Oscar and Schultz, and I think, like, 2 minutes and 54 seconds. And so...
Wait, saying Oscar, you mean Paul Orndorff?
I'm sorry, Paul Orndorff, yeah.
And Dr. D.
And what Dr. D did was close, put his shoulder right next to Orndorff's to block me out completely. And they talked the entire interview with about 7 seconds left. I put one hand on Schultz, one hand on Orndorff, jumped over it and said, Roddy Piper, giant killer. Now what do you want to do? And Schultz said, can I speak to you? You betcha. And we went behind the curtain. And he says, you know, I don't appreciate it. I said, I don't really give a damn what you appreciate. Next time you try to block me like that, I'm going to tear you apart.
What'd he say?
He looked at me to see if I was bluffing.
You weren't bluffing?
No, sir.
Right. So he left you alone.
Left
he went
alone.
About his way. And he never blocked you again.
No, sir.
But that's sometimes you got to stand your ground. And many times. And it's, man, it's survival of the fittest. I mean, and you're either going to get your stuff in or you're going to get smoked.
That's right.
So then you also mentioned Snuka. You had some to Jesus moments with Snuka in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, you know, with the coconut thing, you've told that story a million times.
Yeah.
One of the most famous Piper pits of all time when you smash him in the head with the coconut. I get that. And business, you know. But I'm talking about here in a hallway. What was the deal with you cats? I thought, man, you guys be like two peas in a pod doing business.
No.
Why?
No. Okay. Whoosh. When Vince and Hogan first started their play in the WWF, they couldn't get anybody over Snuka. He was so over.
Right.
So what they did is they put Snuka in a cage match against Morocco, and one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen, Snuka slams Morocco, and I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into it, climbs to the top of the cage, to the corner, got his little toes wrapped around it, does a full squat, then comes up with his hands like a swan, leaning back, looks at the brother and goes, soars, and cameras are going off, and boom, boom. Holy cow. And he didn't pin Morocco. Morocco kicked out and went out the door, and that was finished. And Jimmy is a very wonderful, simple man. And then he realized what happened.
Wow.
At the same time, there was another situation in his private life, an allegation that was working on him. And I hit him with a coconut.
Yeah.
And the brother is down and he's mean. And I would, it's like a Chicago, and I'm in the 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the hallway. And I don't know where he came. Here comes Snuka just diving at me. But here's the truth. He was drinking a little bit. And the truth is, like, when he dove at me, I just, like, I got him by the hair, and I just gently, it wasn't hard. It was like, hey, easy, bud. I just, please don't hurt me. But, like, it was, and then I beat him. No.
Right, right.
And one time in Oakland, man, he's sitting next to me, and I'm wrestling him, and he goes, and he's crying hard. He goes, you know, brother, you're for yourself. You know, brother. Like, a long time. So I went out in the ring. You know, it was Oakland, a lot of Samoans. And so there was this spot where Jimmy slammed me, and he said, stay. And he went up to the top. Now, I got his eyes locked.
Right.
I got to make a decision real quick here.
Right. Because I heard that was snug to begin with.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And what I did was he came down, and I thought to myself, well, I'll try to save the nose. And I moved my face about 3 inches to the left. Match finished. I got back. He comes storming through that door. You moved, brother. The whole night. You moved, brother. You don't trust me. You howly. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Howly is a word Hawaiians use for white people that's like a...
Right, right.
You know.
Derogatory.
Derogatory. Right. Thank you. And every night, I went through this every night with this guy. But I love him. I love him with all my heart. But for the fans, it wasn't this jolly, jolly, you know, like we had some fun, but it was very competitive and it was life-threatening, without a doubt.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
Hey, I want to tell you guys about Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams offers a full lineup of premium smokable CBD. They specialize in extraordinary CBD, rich hemp flower, a.k.a. bud, in cans and pre-roll CBD joints. Enjoy all of the health benefits of CBD without getting high, under 0.3 THC. It's cannabis that ships directly to you, and it's legal in all 50 states. Join the men and women who are sick of vapes and gummies and want to smoke their CBD. Smoke your CBD. Looks like high-quality marijuana, feels like high-quality marijuana, and tastes like high-quality marijuana. Independent lab tests to show compliance and purity are posted on their website. Grown in the USA, Cushy Dreams has CBD flower in and pre-rolls. They come in specific indica, sativa blends like Energy, Hustle, Relax, and Dream. My producer, Sean, says he likes to smoke the Relax strain before bed to get some shut-eye after editing the podcast. He says it tastes great, exactly like high-quality weed. He would know. And hey, it can be really helpful for these anxious times of 2020. Go to CushyDreams.com, K-U-S-H-Y. Get some high-quality CBD bud. At checkout, use promo code Steve for 20% off every order. Cushy Dreams. Smoke your CBD.
You brought up a name a while ago. Oh, no, no. First of all, before I move on, you know, I saw the dive, the famous dive, and Mick Foley was there.
You know,
that's one of his stories. He was there. And I guess he hitchhiked a ride to get to the building. He was such a fan. But I forgot the finish of the match. He did not win the match with that splash.
No, Morocco got out the door.
Wow.
And that's how they got. And then I did the coconut.
Right. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, brought him down.
And the brother was doing Geozobs for me.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
It just got uglier. And then there was a lot of clicks then.
Yeah, clicks. But then all of a sudden, when you're riding that momentum, because there was times I turned down some favors one time, very famous night in Atlanta. I just no-showed. I mean, what a stupid thing to do.
I hear you.
I was in a different world back then, you know, from Headspace.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the biggest regrets of my life, and I didn't handle my business like a man. But, you know, when you get backed against the wall sometimes, or you feel like the company's trying to derail you, to slow you down.
Yeah,
you do have to be about yourself. And I'm all about business. And just in talking to you, I know you're all about the business. But,
yes, sir.
And doing the job at hand. But it's like when Hayden, no sir, for Mr. T. And, you know.
I had the whole wrestling industry in my
life. Yeah.
I couldn't let him make a fool
You're repping
out of
the
us.
Boys.
Yes. And he's gone. And I, as mad as everybody, I can't do it, guys.
Right.
And this is why I was hot, you know.
And my reasons didn't amount up to yours. But you mentioned a name a while ago who's one of my favorites of all time. And the match that you had with Adrian Adonis, going back to the eye pokes.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Adrian's work.
Holy cow.
I loved his work as a heel.
Yes,
he was great. You were the babyface at the time. And, I think y'all's styles, y'all's chemistry, to me, and this is just talking from a veteran's eyes and a fan's standpoint, just said those guys had crazy chemistry. To me, I'm just guessing you loved working with Adrian Adonis.
He thought I was his brother. When we were in L.A., when we were 22 years old, we were called the 22s. I had to pull him off Mil Mascaras. He's stretching everybody. And he was an orphan. And
so Adrian was a tough cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he'd come up to me. You know, he looked horrible. Big boy. God bless him.
Oh.
He'd be in the gym. How do I look, Spikes? How do I look?
Yeah.
You look great, 80.
Yeah.
I mean, eat more tuna fish or anything you want.
Right.
But Performing Fool came from, I think it was either Rochester or Buffalo. He came from a little bit of a mobbish background.
Right.
And he loved me. He saved me a couple of times. But the one big time, we were in Poughkeepsie, and I was having issues, and
yeah,
it was hot. And he says, come here. He says, you know what's wrong with you? He says, you need to buy a house. Put your kids in it. I'd never had a house.
Wow.
I didn't understand.
You living in Portland at the time?
No. Where? I was living across from the Woodbridge Shopping Center in New Jersey. And, I'd never had a home.
Right.
I still don't understand. My children, I made sure that they were raised more. But I don't have a place I grew up. I don't have. And so, I don't know.
So what happened?
So I bought a home.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're what? Again?
Yeah.
Four kids. Really, Giddy?
Right.
It's the water. I'm not home that much. And that's thanks to Adrian. He's the last funeral I went to. I did the eulogy at his funeral. And, his wife was there. And I always used to tell Adrian, I still do to the guy, but I say, hey, I love you. And I meant it. And, he'd say it back to me, and she'd go, what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
And then I remember Adrian and I were talking one time, Adie. And we're just talking, and he says, Pipes, when I die, I want him to throw a party. I want him, and I'm doing the eulogy, and it comes to my mind, and I said it, and the casket was closed, and the family was draped off, and from the lady, a sound of pain I can't mimic.
Right.
Oh. And then she came over to me, and she said, now I know why you guys said that.
Right.
And even when Adrian was doing the flower shop, he had the mini pearl hat with the price tag, big old dress on. He's the only guy that can go in drag, and it's just not in drag.
Right.
I don't know how to say
that.
He's and in WrestleMania 3, he made sure that I got over. It's him that did it, not me. It's him that did it.
But the chemistry of that match, and then the time I think he was starting to get a little head of steam on you, you hit him with the eye poke. I mean, it's like, and the way he sold it.
He was great.
It's one of my favorite matches of all time, and I think he takes a tremendous ass over Tea Kettle Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the turnbuckle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he, so Brutus was down by the ringside. I'm not sure why, how he got there, but it was a hair versus hair match. Now, I had one with Guerrero, and I lost, so I just had five more of them,
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to lose, just keep rolling with it. But I learned one thing. It's really hard to cut a man's hair when it's wet.
Right.
Okay? So as much as they think I was being a nice guy, I go, Brutus, you cut his hair. And that's how he became Brutus the Barber.
Straight up shoot?
Straight up shoot. You got it. Brutus the Barber. That's exactly how he got there.
Yeah, but he was already out there with the shears. He wasn't Brutus the Barber to begin with. Yeah.
No, you see, I can't remember why he came out.
I just watched his match the other day. I remember he came out with the shears and he hit him on the top rope. No, it was Adrian that had the shears. Because that's it when he knocked.
We
can't even talk about this on the air because people are going to watch YouTube and think how stupid we are. You had the match. You lived it. I watched it. We don't even know what's going on. And we're talking in the present.
I love it.
This is the kind of BS that you get on the Steve Austin Show. True, authentic audio whoop-ass coming from, I'll say it, from one of the greatest of all time, sitting 5 feet away from me.
I love you.
You're listening to another classic episode of the Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
You own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
right, here we are, continuing my conversation with Rowdy Roddy Piper, the one and only Hot Rod. Roddy, I want to do something, but before we kind of bring this thing on a home.
Yeah.
We were talking about, you referred me to a video on YouTube. It's called Off the Top Rope.
Thank you.
Now, I want you to talk about this just real quick, because we're going to play, it's about a four-minute video.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, Steve, can we play this on the show? And I watched it, and it's such a special motivational video for people who are fighting cancer.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, it lends itself to being a video. But as far as audio goes, I thought we'd play a minute clip of it and then let you explain to it. Or do you want to throw to it?
I'll throw to it.
Okay, go.
I'm a cancer survivor. And Bruce Springsteen's band, the E Street Band, it's called Light of Day. And I performed in Niagara Falls and Toronto for Parkinson's and for cancer. And I wrote this song called Step Off the Top Rope. I always have people... You know, how do you? And sometimes you don't know, but you just got to go. Like Babe Ruth was one of the biggest home run hitters, but he struck out the most too.
Right.
And you got it in life. And so I went with some of these musicians and then I performed it. And actually, I don't know if you'll get to it, so I'll say the, you know, here's to Steve. You know, so like unbelievable musicians, right? And it comes to Rod's time to sing and they all stop. It's a cappella. Right? Really? Did you do that with Bruce too? Anyway, the things are, I've been up all night in this hotel room. I got my kids crying on the phone. That came from, I was teaching my youngest daughter Silent Night on the piano, but I was like 20,000 miles away.
Right.
Then I said, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and Big Boss, man, they're up in heaven cheering me on. Because in Miami, really quick, in Miami one time, Kerry Von Erich, his right foot was amputated.
Right, he still wrestled. Motorcycle crash.
Yeah, and he didn't mind healing a room and taking his leg off. We went to a room one time, and for some reason, Kerry and I on the eighth floor went out and stood on the ledge. The window slammed shut. We're smoking a joint, looking,
that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I can remember having to push back on the glass because the wind was so strong.
Right.
And, you know, you leave your door open for room service because you're too lazy. And here come Big Boss Man and Kurt, Mr. Perfect down to have a beer. And they saw us and they pulled us in. I'm the only one alive. And I've been up all night in this hotel room. I got my kids crying on the phone. Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect and Big Boss Man, they're up in heaven cheering me on. And this song's for you folks. People say with cancer, I don't have a magic answer other than I don't know how to quit. And that's what this song was for you.
And here it is.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Appreciate it very much.
But the message there.
Yeah, you gotta
take a swing.
Take a swing.
You ain't doing nothing sitting on the sidelines.
No shit.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Get in the game.
Yeah, you gotta get in the game, man. And I know, like, you, there's huge autograph lines for you, and I'm sure it's the same, like, you'll get, like, three or four generations from the same family, and, they're watching you on TV, and they're bonding. It's not really us, but that, and there's, it's like, I think, a doctor delivering a baby. They're so precious, and they're so giving, and never cut off a line. You gotta say hi.
Yeah, you gotta say hi to everybody.
Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, man, so and wrapping this up, you beat cancer.
Yes, sir. Wolf.
That's an ongoing thing. You keep going. My dad is a 10-year cancer survivor, and every year he goes for his medical, his physical.
I was at wrestling fans saved my life again many times. Truth, but in this one, it was called Cyber Sunday, and Flair was half the world champions, and they needed to pick a partner. The fans did, and there was Rhodes, myself, and Sergeant Slaughter. So I don't know whether it was worked or not, but, you know, I'm the only one dressed up, you know. The other two guys ain't got wrestling boots. I'm figuring this one out, you know, with my brilliance. And, okay, boom, I'm the tag partners. We're off. We're in Glasgow, of all places, Scotland. And my back, my hips wouldn't work, and I couldn't figure it out. And ended up going to the hospital, and there was a piece of bone saw in the nerve. And while they were in there, there's a lymph gland, and the guy saw it and got a biopsy, and I had lymphoma cancer. And so then
that was found during the hip surgery?
Yeah, not the hip, the back surgery.
Back surgery, okay.
Hip was in 94.
Okay, so but that was lucky you had the surgery, or
I wouldn't have known it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wouldn't
have progressed.
Yeah,
right.
Big time. And
lucky fluke.
Lucky fluke. And you know, my kids come to see me here as a dad. So all my kids come. I'll make up the room. I was in room 910.
Right.
And how am I going to tell them their dad's got cancer? They're just little.
Yeah, the C word.
Oh, man. So something happened with great-grandma, and she just happened to be in the same hospital. And I was buying time. I said, go down and say hi to great-grandma. And they went, and about a half an hour later, they come back to cry. She died in front of them. And they're crying and crying, and I got to say.
You still got to give them the news.
Yeah. And so, but you know what it did for me? It's like, hey, they're depending on you. Get up. And 3 days after all that stuff, I was doing a movie called Sweet 16 on MTV. And I just kept rolling, and I get checked when I can.
So right now, you're on Twitter, Roddy, r_
Thanks.
Roddy _Piper.
Yeah.
And your website is?
RowdyRoddyPiper.com.
And hey, you had the Rod Pod going back in the day. Are you gonna get the pod going back
Thanks.
Again?
I love you. I love you so much. See, this is for you folks listening. This is an example of a very accomplished gentleman trying to help another fella out. And make no mistake about it, it's exactly what he's doing. It's like Muhammad Ali did it to me one time when I was a kid, and he's just doing it because. He's the pro that he is and the heart that he's got. I did a thing called Rod Pod in the Lovitz Club on Universal. And after 5 weeks, I was in the top 20 in iTunes. But the guys in the Lovitz Club, they got mad at each other. And one guy took his equipment and left. And, you know, and there, another successful venture.
Right.
You know, so I was going to try to get her kicked up again. But I don't know what studio to go to and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to seek around, you know, and get the Rod Pod going again and tell stories and also do future stuff, you know.
Right.
And I like helping people now. I like helping people. A guy asked me, well, how do you want to be remembered? I want to be remembered as a good dad. That'd be cool.
Yeah, there's. I would like to say that same answer, but I can't. I mean, I would like to, but it's not going to happen. I still try to go. Yeah, I still try to do what I can. But anyway, not to get all sappy, but you know, it is what it is. But to hear you say
not sappy. It's like they don't understand that. That's all we got.
You know that's but that is the thing. Family is all you got, man. If you ain't, you know, and some people don't have families, but those that do, and the ones that are splintered, you know, you have those come to Jesus meetings, and they work or they don't work, and sometimes you can't force the issue. And so anyway, my many shortcomings, living the life that I did, and I got. We're not going to sit here and turn this to a piss and moan session. I had so much fun talking to you. Man, you're right in podcast. You're right in podcast territory. I can probably point you in the right direction.
I love you. Hey, I love you.
What about you got a movie coming up, or is it a documentary you're working on?
Thanks, Steve. I love you so much. Okay, whoa. They've been shooting for 8 months all over the world, but
documentary.
I don't like it. They show me where I'm not so. I'm out of control a little bit. I got a real.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's an ugly side. I hate it. I don't like it.
Yeah, but this is called.
It's called the Behind the Villain.
Behind the Villain. Man, I saw a clip of it. I was like, I thought it was a movie, but it's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Yeah, but you know what, Rod? Man, if you've gone this far into it, I would be very intrigued to see it because probably went down a parallel path in some degrees as you. Obviously, we're in the same business.
Yeah.
But I was compelled. It's like I want to see it. So,
thank you very much.
Hey, and we all have our dark days, our demon days, our days when we're the greatest human beings on the planet, and sometimes we hit those lows, as we both have. Yeah. And so I think many will watch this and gain strength from it. And obviously your support for people with cancer and people have drawn strength from you living vicariously through the strength that Rowdy Roddy Piper, displayed through his wrestling career. And yeah, when you were heel and a babyface too, the guy that gave you everything he had every single time an obstacle was thrown at him in the ring or in the storyline. They live vicariously through that. I've had so many Stone Cold Steve Austin fans tell me that. So, hey, man, I think highs and lows, it's your story. I would love to see it. So when are you thinking about releasing this?
Well, it's all shot. Was going to release it around WrestleMania, which I'm going to be at.
Okay, you think you're going to release a documentary at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
I've been hearing rumblings. We wanted to go about this before we got on the air. I've been seeing some noise about you and Hogan at WrestleMania 30. Can we talk about this? Should we talk about it? What's going on?
Yeah.
Give me the 411.
Oh, yeah. It's this. This is WrestleMania 30. I pinned Hogan once, and he's never pinned me.
You wanted a sleeper that one.
Yes, sir. It's, first of all, from a fan's perspective and from the WWE universe and Vince, it never had closure. The business that would be done, the interviews and stuff would be coming from the heart. You could bring... try to raise the bar of the WWE entertainment machine in our sport if they let us go toe-to-toe and don't script us. Then the fan will see really how it got started and why, and then they'll see the conclusion. They're asking, can I get in shape? I'm already in shape. They're asking Hogan, but there's a fear, I guess, of whether we can pull off the performance.
You can, yeah. I think you can.
I think so too. I wouldn't.
Your style. You're a brawler.
Yeah.
And so Hogan's not going scientific. It's a brawl. It's a fight.
Yeah.
You don't need scientific wrestling.
All
you need is to go.
Yeah.
I think you can do that. And I think. To watch the magic from a promo standpoint, but also from everything that the WWE is doing now with launching WWE Network and taking care of their future business. Some people have fallen off the WWE bandwagon. They have.
Yes, sir.
Since you left, since I left. Hey, man, you're talking about you're one of the original cats from WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, 30 years later, here you are again. You're bringing history back to the present. A lot of
so
people
cool.
that fell off would jump back onto a storyline like this and say, God dang, I didn't know I was going to get a chance to see Hot Rod and the Hulkster of all people go again. So, I think it would be badass. I don't know if I'm going to be at 30 either in any capacity.
Oh, you got to be.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we're talking about you, and but I'd heard the rumblings through that. So I would love to see that match. And obviously, you look great sitting 5 feet across from me.
And, I'd put my heart into it. I'd give them everything I got. And then, you know what? I probably wouldn't ever get in the ring again. I would probably walk away there. I don't have, I've been fired many times. But I've never been fired for, other than speaking my mind or doing the right thing. Not because of substances or I've never missed a gig.
Right.
Other than, the plane didn't make it.
But what I'm getting, man, so you need closure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I hear.
It was really, really difficult. When WrestleMania 2, when they started chanting my name, Hogan went to McMahon and said, I'll just ride on his kilts. And McMahon, I heard the jungle, well, we'll take care of him. And that's why I went and did They Live.
Right.
I did They Live so I could come back through the front door.
Right.
They were going to try to schnook me.
Right.
And, you know, I had been trained by the old-timers. And, you know, it's a part, like I said, they just left us down in the bowels of the garden. They didn't care. And I need closure for my life.
Needs closure. Hey, man, we're going to wrap it up on this. You know what, Roddy, you look at these two pages here, and now I didn't even scratch the surface. And I didn't, I looked at these pages one time because you referred to a piece of business that I was going to cover. So I would love to have you back anytime you're in L.A. Just give me a yell because we covered so much, but we didn't cover nothing.
I'm very honored. Yeah. You're a great guy, Steve.
I appreciate you coming down here to be on the show.
You know, you're a great guy, and you're good for the business. I like the man that you are. No baloney. I like the man that you are, and I like what you stand for because, you know what, you're real. And I just for you guys out there that are trying to learn the business, I say the same thing to all. Wrestle with your heart. Put your heart there. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
Yeah.
And Steve Austin, he gives you his heart. And he's from Texas. And I think you're wonderful. And I'm honored to be on here and would be on anytime with you.
Nice. You, Paulie. Thank you, man.
Thank you for joining us for another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends. For more Steve Austin Show, go to podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah. Free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.